hear you if you say it loud. Good morning.
Good morning.
There we go.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good to see everybody this morning. Thank y'all for being here. This is our second drive-in service, and it looks like possibly it will be our last. We'll put this out later in the week when we know for sure, but it looks like the governor is going to lift the restrictions a little bit starting tomorrow. And if we can set things up in the gym and do it where there's a safe distance for everybody and make sure we've got all those details figured out, then possibly next Sunday we'll be inside the gymnasium. So, but if not, we'll be right here. And each step getting closer back to normal is a good sign and a good thing as far as I'm concerned. So the fact that I'm looking out and getting to see your faces instead of staring at those empty pews, that's a big improvement.
Hey.
So, thank y'all for being here. I want to say happy Mother's Day to all the mothers. Thank you so much for being the glue that holds your family together. And we love you. We appreciate you. We have a little gift bag that we're going to pass out. If I could get the ushers or guys to come up and pass those out. The way we want to do this, they're just a little gift bag, just a little small way for us to say Happy Mother's Day and thank you for being you. If you would like one of those, if you would, just slip your hand up, and we're going to come by and drop those off. If there's anybody that doesn't want one for any reason, that's fine.
No, Marvin can't have one, can
he? Marvin?
Yeah.
No, Marvin can't have a Happy Mother's Day. We'll find something else we can give Marvin, though. We love Marvin. All right. Where is Marvin? Wave at me, Marvin. There he is. All right. So we're going to pass these out, so y'all keep your hands up if you'd like one of those. Again, thank you for being here. It's an honor that on this Mother's Day that you would choose to worship with us, so we're thankful for that. I want to read you a passage from Proverbs 31 now. This is Proverbs 31, 28 and 29. It says, "Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also praises her. Many women have done noble deeds, but you surpass them all." So I thank you for all the Proverbs 31 women that we have out there. And I hope that this little small gift bag will be a blessing to you. On this Mother's Day, you know, I think about my mama that's been in heaven for 6 years now. I can't believe that it's been that long. I miss her every day, but I'm so thankful that I have the hope of heaven, the hope of being reunited with her someday. So on this Mother's Day, I'm celebrating my mama. So let me say, if your mama's still here, if you still have the opportunity, make a big deal out of her today. Go see her if you can. Call her if you have to. Let her know you love her and you appreciate her. Husbands, let the mother of your kids know that you appreciate them, because mothers are a special thing. We're blessed to have y'all in our lives. So let me lead us in a prayer for our moms now, and then we're going to get started with our worship service. So if you will, join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this beautiful day, Lord. Thank you for the freedom that we have in this country to assemble together and to worship you, God. And so we say that boldly, courageously, that we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life, the only way to heaven. And we are thankful to be a part of his family. And Lord, we're so thankful for our moms and what a blessing they are in each of our lives. Lord, we just ask your blessings to continue to flow down upon all of the moms, grandmothers, everybody that even plays that role, even if you're not a mom, that you've taken care of family members and kids, and God has used you as that nurturer. We're thankful for you, and we pray God's blessings on you, Lord. Be with us today. Help us to honor you during this service, Lord. We love you, and we ask, Lord, that you would inhabit the praises of your people. We ask, Lord, that you would be glorified, that you would be pleased with the worship that we're going to offer to you. And I pray that when the songs are over, that our attitude of worship would not be over. I pray that we would continue with that mindset focused on, whether it's through the reading of your word or through the lives that we live out, let every part of us be a living sacrifice unto you. Let us worship you with our thoughts, our words, and our actions. We love you again, Lord. We pray this in the name of Jesus. If you agree with that prayer, say amen or honk your horn.
Amen.
All right, Brother Robert.
All right. Good to see everybody today. Hope everybody's doing well. We look forward to greater things ahead. And bear with me if the wind gets my music and makes it. So we're going to do the best we can up here. The first song we're going to do today is Mighty is Our God. And he is so good, so wonderful, so great, so kind, takes care of us every day. Sing with me, if you would. Let me plug my guitar in.
Glory and glory and creation. Amen.
I couldn't help but laugh back there. If I put every bit of my concentration in it, I can change chords trying to strum a guitar. He just played a whole worship song playing two instruments at one time. So I'm a little envious of him. I'm going to pray about that. I'm a little envious of his ability, but I sure am thankful for it. Thank you for leading us, brother. We have bulletins this morning, so the ushers are going to come through. If you'd like one of those, shoot your hand up. We'll get you a bulletin. Thank you again for being here. It's always good when we can get together. I was about to say in God's house, but this whole planet is God's house, so I'm thankful that we're out. And the wind's going to blow. It was a little bit of an issue last week, but the wind's going to blow across the mic. Y'all, I apologize about that. We're just going to make the best of it, okay? All right, so we're going to pick back up in our sermon series on prayer this morning. We started a couple of weeks ago, and we talked about how to pray, and we looked at the model prayer that Jesus shared with the disciples. It's often called the Lord's Prayer, but really the disciples' prayer might be a better title for that. And then the next week after that, we talked about how to make the most of our prayer time and how all of us have busy lives, and so how do we make the most of the time that we get to spend in prayer with our Lord? And so today we're going to talk about the benefits of a continuous prayer life. And this will really fit sort of hand in glove with making the most of our time, because as we're going to see today, the Bible says to stay in an attitude of prayer. And so if we do that, I believe we'll be able to make the most of our prayer time for sure. So when you look at Christianity and you compare it to other religions out there, Christianity is different because it's more relationship than it is religion. And like any relationship that we have on earth, communication is key, right? In any relationship, well, it's the same way with God the Father. We need to be in communication with Him. And when we do that, when we stay in touch with the Lord and we spend time in His Word and we spend time talking to Him, listening to Him, the closer we'll be to Him and the better we'll be able to live out the kind of lives that will bring Him the most glory and will be the most pleasing to Him. So we've got to communicate. A former pastor of mine used to tell this joke, it seemed like about once a year, but I love it. I laugh at it every time I hear it, and I think it's applicable to what we're talking about. So there was this older couple, riding together. They were in one of those trucks that had the bench seat. You know, used to, you didn't have the individual bucket seats, you just had a bench seat. Anybody here got a bench seat this morning and not bucket seats? Any vehicle? Somebody does. They got a bench seat? Okay, so Miss Gayla can slide on over there closer if she wants to. Fine. Okay, yeah, she's waving her hand. Well, when this older couple had first gotten married, whenever she got in that truck next to him, she'd slide all the way over as close as she could get to him, right? Well, as the years went by, she started sliding a little farther over and a little further over, and now Mike is pushing Miss Gayla over, sliding a little farther over till she was all the way on the other side of the truck, right? It just sort of happened over the years. Well, one day they were riding, and that wife looked over at her husband and said, "I love you." And he didn't say nothing back. He just kept on trucking. 10-2, he had his eyes on the road. And she said, "How come you don't ever tell me you love me anymore?" And that grouchy old husband looked over at her and said, "I told you I loved you when I married you, and if anything ever changes, I'll let you know." That old guy needs some lessons in romance, right? Don't point your husbands out. We got a few doing that. Don't point them out if they need lessons like that old guy did. But listen, the truth is some Christians treat God the same way. And it's kind of the attitude of, "I told you I loved you when I got saved, Lord, and if anything ever changes, I'll let you know." Right? And so the peak of our love and enthusiasm for the Lord sometimes is right at the beginning, and then just like a lot of marriages do, over the years it tapers off. Well, it shouldn't be that way. It should never be that way, because we've got a gracious and loving Heavenly Father We need to go to him in prayer continuously throughout our day. And listen, when we do that, God is pleased and our lives are blessed. All right, so before we continue, let's go to the Lord together in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, it's good to be here together with our church family. We pray, Lord, that as we turn to your word, that you would speak to us, Lord. We pray, Lord, that you would give us minds to understand. You give us hearts to obey what you would tell us, Lord. Lord, we love you. We pray that you would be glorified in the rest of this service. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, so I want to share four benefits of a continuous prayer life. Four benefits of a continual life of prayer. And there's many more benefits than just four, but for the sake of time, we're just going to talk about four specifically today. And before we get to the four benefits, I want us to see from God's word that continued prayer is biblical. All right, so 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18. I'm going to read that for us. It reads, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." So let me hear y'all say, pray without ceasing.
Pray without ceasing.
Let's do that one more time. Pray without ceasing.
Pray without ceasing.
All right, good job. Ephesians 6:18 says, "Pray at all times in the Spirit with every prayer and request, and stay alert with all perseverance and intercession for the saints." So let me hear y'all say, pray at all times.
Pray at all times.
Good job, good job. Philippians 4:6 tells us, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." Let me hear y'all say, in everything.
In everything.
That's right. Let your requests be made known to God in everything. So these verses tell us to pray without stopping, to pray at all times, and to pray in everything. Every situation, good and bad, is a time to be in prayer. That's God's will for you and me, that we stay in an attitude of prayer. Well, that's easier said than done, isn't it? Would you agree? It's easy for us to say those words, "I'm going to stay in an attitude of prayer." It's a little harder to make that happen, isn't it? Am I the only one that struggles with that, or is anybody else? I see a couple of hands. All right. This may not be something that we're able to achieve overnight, but if we will keep the faith and trust in the Lord, he will enable us to develop this habit, this attitude, this lifestyle. See, God would not give us a command without also giving us the ability to achieve it. He wouldn't say stay in an attitude of prayer if we couldn't stay in an attitude of prayer. Amen? It's through him. It's not through my own ability or your own ability. It's through him. It's in his strength, in his power, that we're able to do that. In my own strength, my prayer life looks pretty hopeless. But in the strength of Jesus Christ, our Savior, I know that I can grow and develop a consistent, continuous prayer life, and you can too. So, really quickly, before I get into the four benefits, that's a preacher for you. Tell you there's going to be four things and then talk for 20 minutes before it gets to the four things. Well, before I get to the four things, I want to talk about what a continuous prayer life is. To have a continuous prayer life is to stay in that attitude of prayer and go to the Lord all throughout the day instead of just making prayer at certain times. Right, so to say, I pray during my morning devotion, or I pray before my meals, or I pray right before I go to bed. All of those things are good, but we need to pray continuously in between those set times of prayer. Amen?
Amen.
Having those predetermined times of prayer, those are important, but we don't want to limit our prayer times to just those. So as we're going through our day, we want to go to the Lord in prayer. So if you're alone, you can pray out loud, but if you're in public, just kind of think through your prayers. Stay in that attitude. You know, you probably don't want to fall to your knees in prayer in the middle of Walmart. That might be awkward. You might get some strange looks, but you can certainly pray as you're going through Walmart, right? You definitely don't need to close your eyes and lift your hands as you're driving down the road. That'd be dangerous for you and everybody else on the road. But you can certainly leave your eyes open and pray to the Lord as you're driving. We need to stay in an attitude of prayer while we do all the things that we have to do during the day. Pray about what's going on in your life. Pray for others. Pray for world events. There's plenty to pray for. There's more to pray for than we have time for in a day. So if you ever think, well, I don't have anything to pray for, keep thinking. There's plenty out there. Keep searching. There's plenty for us to pray about. Pray about anything and everything. Just pray. All right, let's get to the four benefits. The first benefit of staying in a continuous attitude of prayer is that it allows us to focus on what matters most. It allows us to focus on what matters most. So if you're taking notes, this is number one. It's going to be 4 points in the sermon. Staying in a continuous attitude of prayer allows us to focus on what matters most. Now, I forgot to say this at the beginning, but you can hear this through the radio speakers. If you tune in to 87.9 on your big radios in your vehicles, you should be able to hear this. And I thank Keegan for making that happen. And also, I'm thankful that we have these speakers as well. So hope everybody can hear me well. Staying in a continuous attitude of prayer allows us to focus on what matters most. The great commandment that Jesus gave us is to love God and love people. And the greatest act of love that has ever been shown was Jesus suffering on the cross in the place of sinners. Aren't you thankful that Jesus went up on that cross so that you and I don't have to?
Amen.
The greatest way that we can love people in obedience to the great commandment, the greatest way we can love people is to tell them about the act of love that was the cross. And we do that when we share our faith, right? Sharing our faith will be much easier for us if we stay connected to God the Father in continuous prayer. Each day we're tempted to focus on things that are temporary and ignore the things that are actually going to matter forever. And each day we have to decide what's going to matter to us in the long run. Will it be money and possessions, or will it be God and His kingdom? What's going to matter most to us? The story's told of a young investment banker who was driving his new BMW on a mountain road during a snowstorm. So terrible weather. We just have to use our imaginations down here in South Alabama. We don't see that white stuff too often. But this was a place where there was all kinds of snows. Terrible snowstorm. So as he drove up this mountain, he took a sharp turn and he lost control and he began sliding off the road towards a steep cliff. And at the last moment, he unbuckled his seatbelt. He flung open the door and leaped from the car. And the car then fell to the bottom of the ravine and burst into a giant ball of flames. And although the man had escaped with his life, he suffered a horrible injury as he was jumping out. Somehow his arm had gotten caught near the hinge of the door, and as he jumped, he ripped his arm off clean to the shoulder. And so a passing trucker saw this accident, and he runs up to see if he can help. And when he arrived at the scene, he found this banker looking down into this ravine at his car that's now down there in flames. And he was just completely clueless that he had injured himself so badly. And he was just looking down into the ravine going, "My BMW, my new BMW." And so the trucker pointed out his injury and said, "You got a lot bigger problems than that car, sir. We got to find your arm. We got to get you to a hospital, see if they can attach that thing again." And so the banker looked over to where his arm had been, and he paused for a moment, and then he cried out, "My Rolex, my new Rolex." That sounds ridiculous, doesn't it? Who in that situation would be worried about a BMW and a Rolex when he could potentially lose his entire life, right? That's silly. But I wonder if that's any sillier than what it must look like to God when he looks down at creation and he sees mankind running around trying to gather up all these possessions that we're not going to take with us and that aren't going to matter in 10 years, much less 1,000, 10,000 years from now. Right? It's got to look pretty silly to him when he sees us chasing after all these temporary things, completely ignoring the eternal. Staying focused on what matters most in prayer will help us to keep eternity in our daily thinking. We won't see each day in such a limited way. We won't see the people that we interact with as just a means to an end, right? We'll see them as made in the image of God if we're continuously focused in, plugged in prayer to the Lord. It's so easy to get up each day and to just kind of let the day happen. And it's easy to miss the significance of eternity in a normal day. It's easy to go throughout our daily interactions and forget that each person that we come into contact with is made in the image of God and has a purpose. And they have an eternity in front of them just like we do. You know, y'all know I love quoting Charles Spurgeon. Listen to what he said about the subject. Time is short. Eternity is long. It's only reasonable that this short life should be lived in the light of eternity. That makes a lot of sense. This is all we know, so this life seems like it lasts so long, but it's really like that in the span of eternity. Staying focused on what is most important through staying in an attitude of prayer will enable us to impact eternity for the glory of God. There's no limit to what God can do in us and through us when we stay in an attitude of prayer. All right, so next, number two, staying in an attitude of prayer allows us to give thanks to God at all times and in all things. Did you notice when we were going through those verses earlier, the close connection between prayer and thanksgiving? The verse from 1 Thessalonians says, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances. And then the verse from Philippians says, in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And listen, we have so much to be thankful for. And I say that with no hesitation, even with the coronavirus situation that is still a threat, even now, and even with so much evil and hate existing in the world all around us, still, God is good, and he has been so good to me. Somebody honk your horn if God has been good to you. Amen. Absolutely, God has been good to us. He's given us life. He's given us the opportunity to have a relationship with him. And if you stop and think about that, that in itself is enough to just put you on your knees right there. The God of the universe that created everything out of nothing loves each and every one of us. And he wants a relationship specifically with us. That is humbling. That's amazing. That's awesome. I'm thankful for that. God's given us friends. He's given us family. He's given us our church family. He's given us so much more. He's given us the hope of eternity in heaven with him and with loved ones that have gone before us that were believers in Christ. So he has given us so much. But all of that is often taken for granted when we don't stay connected to God in prayer. It can be easy to overlook all those blessings and get caught up focusing on the bad when we're not living in an attitude of prayer. But when we are focused on God, we have the opportunity to show him gratitude for everything. Because God is blessing us, and each day he's making us more and more like him. And he even uses hard times to do that. Think about whenever in your life you have tried to do something kind or good for somebody to help them. Even though we don't require gratitude, it feels really good when somebody is grateful in return for that. If you show kindness to somebody else and they show gratitude in return, it kind of makes you feel good. That's a good feeling, right? It feels bad when you do something to be kind to somebody and to show somebody love and they completely show no gratitude. They're not thankful at all. That kind of feels bad, doesn't it? Well, if we, in our limited knowledge, compared to God who has all knowledge, if we, in our sin nature, compared to God in his perfect holiness, if we can recognize that gratitude is a good response and it makes us feel good to receive it, shouldn't we recognize that God deserves our gratitude? And shouldn't showing God that we're thankful for his many blessings, for his love, his mercy, and his grace, shouldn't that be way up there on our priority list? It absolutely should be. Staying connected to God through continuous prayer will help us to recognize God's many blessings, and it'll also help us to show him the gratitude that we have for those blessings. All right, number three, the third benefit of staying in an attitude of prayer is that it allows us to find peace during difficult circumstances. So let's look back at Philippians 4:6 now, and this time I'm going to include verse 7. It says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." So the opposite of peace is worry and anxiety. And there's lots of things that happen to us in this world that bring lots of opportunity for us to worry and have anxiety over them. I read this week about a guy named J. Arthur Rank. He's an English executive. And he came up with this system. He made a worry box. And he decided that as he was going throughout his week, he didn't want to spend his whole week worrying. So he decided he would write down every time something caused him to worry, caused him to feel anxiety. He'd take out a piece of paper, he would write down whatever it was and fold it up and put it in his worry box. And he chose a day during the week. He chose Wednesdays. And he decided, whatever it is, I'm going to put it in the worry box. And then when Wednesday comes, that's going to be my one day. I'm going to do all my worrying on one day. And so he would do that. He'd write those things down, put them in the box. But he found that when Wednesday would come around and he'd open his worry box, he found that most of the things that had disturbed him and caused him all this stress during the past 6 days had already been settled. And he found out that it would have been useless to have worried about them because all of those things mostly worked out on their own anyway. See, worrying is pointless. And yet most everyone still struggles with worry from time to time. But God tells us here in his word that there's something we can do to resist worry. And instead of experiencing worry, we can experience his peace instead. What do we have to do to experience peace? Pray. We have to pray. That's what his word tells us. It says, in everything, by prayer, let our requests be made known to God. So if you and I want a little bit of peace, then we should just pray a little bit. But if we want peace when we get up and peace when we lie down, if we want peace during our mountaintop experiences and we want peace in our lowest valleys and everything in between, then we need to pray in everything, and then the peace of God will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So how do we pray in everything? By keeping that prayer line open all day long, by staying in an attitude of prayer. That's how we pray and experience the peace of God instead of worry and anxiety. All right, the fourth and final benefit of staying in an attitude of prayer is that it allows us to know joy that cannot be experienced anywhere else. The joy that we can receive from the Lord can't be duplicated. It can't be found in any other source than in him. Amen. The greatest joy that anybody will ever know is found in a relationship with Jesus. And there truly is a peace that passes all understanding. There's a humility in knowing that the God of the universe truly loves a sinner like me. And the joy of knowing his presence in this life, it's incredible. It can't be found anywhere else. Now, there are all kinds of wonderful joys that we get to experience in this life, and they give us an idea of what the joy of heaven is going to be like, right? Falling in love, holding your baby, looking into those sweet little eyes, things like that. They're amazing. I wouldn't trade anything for those experiences, but they are only possible because God gave us life in the first place. Those wonderful joys that we can experience in this life are a picture of the joy that's found in a relationship with Jesus Christ. And because of this world that we live in, those wonderful joys can be taken away from us, right? We live in a sin-cursed, fallen world. People die, relationships end. Now, love goes on even after our loved ones die. But the love that will never die and the love that remains eternally is the love of God towards sinful man. God gave his only son, Jesus, to pay our debt of sin for us because we couldn't pay it. There's nothing we could do to pay that debt of sin on our own. Jesus paid that debt on the cross of Calvary. Every single person that has lived, with the exception of Jesus, has sinned. Jesus was sinless and holy and perfect, but every other person has fallen short of God's perfect, holy, righteous standard. And so Jesus died in our place. He took the punishment. If they would have hung me on the cross for my sin, it wouldn't have paid my debt. It's an eternal debt. And it took a perfect sacrifice to pay it. Jesus died on the cross. He was buried in the tomb, and he was raised from the dead on the third day. And now Jesus is in heaven right at this moment, interceding at the right hand of God the Father for you and for me. So any person, man, woman, boy, or girl, that repents of their sin and accepts Jesus as their Lord and Savior, they will be saved. Saved from the punishment our sin deserves, which is eternity in hell, separated from God's presence. But because of what Jesus did on the cross, instead, we will spend eternity worshiping God Almighty in heaven, where there'll be no sin, no suffering, no death. That hope of heaven and that relationship with Jesus is our basis for joy. That's where our joy comes from as believers in Christ. When we stay in an attitude of prayer, we're able to remember that nothing and no one can take that joy away from us. If anybody in this world should have joy, shouldn't it be Christians?
Amen.
If anybody's going to be known for joy, shouldn't it be those that have a relationship with Jesus and those that have the hope of heaven? Who has more to rejoice about than we do? Shouldn't the unbelieving world around us, shouldn't they see joy on our faces? Shouldn't they see joy in our lives when they look at believers? So if you want a joy that just won't quit, if you want a joy that maintains no matter what your circumstances are, get plugged into a prayer life with God and stay in that attitude of prayer continuously. God will bless your life, and other people will be drawn to the joy that can only be found in him. All right, so now as we're wrapping things up this morning, I want to challenge you to pray continuously for the rest of the day. As you're going through the rest of your day, enjoying Mother's Day, hopefully, with your moms and wives, grandmothers, just keep in mind, keep that attitude of prayer, and tell the Lord everything that's going on in your life. That old song says, have a little talk with Jesus. Tell him all about our troubles, right? He's here for us. But we don't just tell him about our troubles. We tell him about the good and the bad. We tell him about everything, right? We talk to him. We listen to him. And if we'll listen, he will speak. So maintain that continuous prayer life and watch how God enables you to focus on what matters most. Watch how God brings to your mind throughout the day all the things that you have to be thankful for. Watch God give you the peace that will carry you through your most difficult circumstance. And watch what God give you the joy that can't be found anywhere else. If we're going to be anything, church, let us be a church that prays and let that prayer be continuous. Amen? All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this beautiful day. We thank you for the opportunity to come together as a church family. We thank you, Lord, that you're always listening. We don't have to make an appointment. We don't have to wait in line. We can come to you at any time, God. And you're always focused on us. You're always listening. You're always prepared to help us, to give us that peace and joy and everything that we need throughout our day, God. So, Lord, I pray that we'll leave this gathering and that we will enjoy our day, but I pray that we'll keep our minds focused on you and that we will develop a continuous prayer life and that we'll see the benefits from that, that you'll be glorified, that you'll be pleased, and that our lives will be blessed, Lord. We love you. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. So, again, anytime we gather together, we want to share the plan of salvation because today could be the day that the Holy Spirit is moving in your heart and in your mind and leading you to make a decision to accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. And it's beautifully simple. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fallen short." Right? That means everybody's guilty. The ground is level at the cross. But even when we were dead, Jesus died for sinners. He paid the price for us. Right? Our sin deserves death. But Jesus took on that death, took on that punishment so that we could be saved in his name. And if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord and that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So if you're here this morning and you've never accepted Jesus, I don't care if you've been going to church your whole life or this is the first church service you've ever been a part of, it's never too early and it's never too late to become a Christian. All right? So if you're here, you've never accepted Jesus and you want to do that, I would love to talk with you and pray with you about that. And what we'll do is, like we did last week, if you have any kind of response to this time of invitation, if you need to ask a question about joining the church, getting baptized, literally anything that has to do with the church or about the Lord, if you'll stay where you're at, I'll come to you and talk to you. And if you don't, then whenever we dismiss, you can just take off and have a great day, okay? Excuse me. I love y'all. Thank y'all so much for being here. I do want to mention that Brother Herb, we're praying for you. We love you, and we're so sorry about Terry, and we are grieving her passing with you, but we are continuing to lift your family up, and we love her and love you, and we will continue to remember you in prayer. And I know there's many different prayer requests, many different things that people are going through. Among the people here and among those that are watching on Facebook, I haven't even acknowledged the Facebook crowd today. Thank y'all for being with us this morning. Thank you for tuning in and being a part of this worship service. I love you guys. If you have any prayer requests, if you have any way that the Lord is leading you to respond to this service, please contact me. Leave a comment in the comment section there, and I will get in touch with you about that. So I think we're going to do one more song, and so y'all sing along, and then when he gets done, we're going to begin pulling out, so y'all just pay attention to the parking crew out there, and I want to thank them for their hard work. I want to thank Keegan, Clint, Brother Robert, Sandy did a lot this morning. Everybody that's played a part in making this thing happen, thank y'all so much. Thank every one of you for being here. I love y'all. What a blessing it is to be a part of Pine Grove Baptist Church. So, Brother Robert, you want to lead us?
There's just something about that name. You know this song probably. We've sang it bunches of times.
Let's give Robert a round of applause. All right, love you guys. Thank y'all for being here. Y'all tune in Wednesday for the service on Facebook. Be looking. We'll make an announcement for sure about church next Sunday this week in the coming weeks. Y'all have a blessed Mother's Day.